I hope you believe in miracles. I know I believe in miracles, but I trust in the Lord. Believe in miracles, but trust in the Lord. A miracle in the family. A miracle in the family. I tell you, there's a lot of need in families today. And I tell you, there's a lot of families need a miracle in their family. I mean. And there's not a need in your family that a miracle from Jesus Christ could not cure. Did y'all know that? There's not a need in your family that a miracle from Jesus Christ could not cure. With the help of the Holy Spirit, or with the Holy Spirit and John penning the Gospel of John, there's seven miracles. We probably won't take these in order because we'll be bouncing around. But these seven miracles, and the reason that the Holy Spirit and John penned these seven miracles, that people might believe and be saved. And the purpose of these seven miracles, of course, we might go on through. The first one, you know, was Jesus turning water into wine. But the purpose selecting these miracles and the illustration of these miracles, that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Now, a lot of times people get ready to read the Bible, and just like I had too many times before I ever read the Bible, I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. And I'm going to start over in Genesis. And I do pretty good till I get to Begots. And I can pronounce about every tenth word. And pretty soon I just skip over and it just turns you right off. And I just quit with it. Well, and I say, I'll start in the New Testament. Well, I get in there in Matthew. And there's them Begots again. About every tenth of word I can understand, or maybe I might pronounce, and that'll turn you off. So tell people to go to the book of the Gospel of John. He starts off his ministry right off the bat as a grown man into his ministry. Luke and Matthew tells about the birth of Jesus Christ and you know, when he's growing up. But now Mark and John starts right off in the Jesus Christ ministry. And if you'll just tell someone to read the book of John, all these miracles, they'll bring him to the knowledge of the convicting power of the Holy Spirit of God in their life and really have the reality that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior. So you get a chance, do that. It's a good little book to start off. It's a good book. If you pass out these Bibles, someone that needs a Bible, this New Testament we have back here on the foyer, tell them to start off in the book of John. And you read through the book of John, then you back up, and then you can start over Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, go through the rest of the book. And then another book that people like to start off in, Revelation. Revelation. And it's hard to understand, but it's not hard to understand. But you need a good working knowledge of the other 65 books of the Bible before you tackle Revelation, because the answer to Revelation is in the Bible. But get John, old simple John, and these miracles are so simple and help us so much. Now, we're going to talk about a nobleman. And that means he was summers of king's court, or he was a very wealthy man, or he's in the, might have been kin to the king. We don't know, it don't say, but a nobleman. And he was one that probably had a lot of money, probably rode a chariot. But you see, he had a problem and a crisis in his family. You know, from time to time, we all going to have crisis in our families. And they think, boy, because you saved, don't think that you're not going to have no crisis, because you'll have crisis really saved or lost. But the only thing, the difference in whenever you're saved and worship and serving Jesus Christ, don't forget that, you'll have someone to go with you through these crises. And if you do what this man done, you'll bring your crisis to Jesus. If so many people, I wish this was a Sunday morning message, because there'd be more people here. And everybody needs to hear, what do you need to do with your crisis? You need to bring them to Jesus. And a lot of times we as people don't do that. We want to tackle it ourselves. We'll run down to the doctor's office. We'll take medicine, or we'll do this, or we'll do that. We'll do everything we can except bring our problems to Jesus. And don't get me wrong, when I get sick, I want to get some help. I want to go to the doctor, but I want to call Jesus. He's a great doctor. Amen. All right, John chapter 4, verse 46. So Jesus came again into Cana of Galilee, where he made the water wine. That was his first miracle. And there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. When he had heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. Then said Jesus unto him, except you see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. The nobleman said unto him, sir, come down, or my child die. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and went his way. And as he was now going down, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. That's when he was going back home. Then required he of them the hour when it began to amend. And they said unto him, yesterday at the seventh hour, the fever left him. So the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and himself believed, and his whole house. This is again the second miracle that Jesus did when he had come out of Judea into Galilee. Let us pray again. Father, if there ever been a message, Lord, we need in our heart today, it seemed like in our area, in our church, in our communities, in our families, Lord, just everywhere we turn and look and hear, there's so many crises of sickness and difficulties and disappointment and problems of all kinds and sizes, storms. Father, we thank you for this word, and we need to hear a word from you, and we thank you, Lord, that we can stand on your word, and we pray, God, that we may learn how to turn our crisis over to you. Lord, we want to thank you, Lord, for all power that you have, even over the power of all the crises, Lord, we have, and all families that we have. So, Father, tonight we just pray that the Holy Spirit of God will open our understanding. God, every one of us, Lord, will have been going to into a crisis just like a storm. So we just want to thank you tonight, Lord, for the blessing of the reading of God's word and the power of his word this day. Amen. The miracles brings conviction and brings us knowledge. Now, this miracle here is tied faith with the solution of the problem. It ties his faith in. So that's very, very important. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. Believe. Now, you got to have faith. Now, this man had a faith, and he had to start with. He had some second-handed faith. We'll get at that in a minute. But as you look at these verses, and this was a man that really needed help. His son was at the point of death. Don't you get very disturbed when your babies or your kids and all, they go to that hospital or whatever it is, and they not, you don't know. You don't know what's going to happen. They know if something don't change, they're not going to be around long. Wouldn't that upset any mother and father? I mean, if that don't get your heart, there's something wrong with you. This man was at that point. These miracles, and we see the faith in this salvation. And these miracles, really, they demonstrate and illustrate to what you mean when you say that you have faith in Jesus Christ. Well, we just read and demonstrate what it means. Man have needs in his family. Whenever we come and look around, even at night, and we hear these prayers, there's so many more that we hadn't mentioned tonight. Y'all know that? There's a lot of needs in our family just in this few groups here tonight that hadn't been mentioned. The Lord knows about them. Maybe a distant relative, maybe a distant family member, but there's still a lot of needs that we hadn't mentioned tonight. I mean, it seems like they're growing all the time as we just look around the Pleasant Hills family. What did he do now about his family crisis? What did he do? He done what everybody needs to do and will not do. They will not come to Jesus Christ. But he comes to Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ made him a promise concerning his need. You see, if people would come, but they won't come. They have all type of crisis in their family, but they won't come to church. No. Have all kind of crisis. They need to learn what this man done. He came to Jesus. He came to Jesus. What Jesus said to this man about belief. Faith is taking God at his word. Y'all know that? That's what faith is, taking God at his word. This miracle illustrates the promise of the Word of God and acted upon what you believe. You know, Pleasant Hill, you got sick family, you got crisis, you got problems, and there's so many, even members of this church, will not bring their crisis to Jesus. They make excuses for not being here, not worshiping, serving Him, being close to Him in the time of their problems. These illustration of what faith really is, the illustration of the part that faith really played on our salvation. This man was saved because he believed the Word of God. It's not what we do, it's what Jesus has done 2,000 years ago on the cross of Calvary, and that's what we're going to celebrate of Easter, what he done for 2,000 years ago, and how that we're saved. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, "For by grace you are saved through faith, and that's not of yourself, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Romans 10 and 9 says, "That if we shall confess with the mouth that the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God's raised him from the dead, we shall be saved." Now here's a family that had a crisis. I mean, that's a pretty serious crisis, would y'all say? I mean, your son, your daughter, your child at the point of death, that's pretty serious. Plenty here we see the difficulties that we're having now and all the problems we have, and even in the church and our family members. But Jesus said, you know, he had a power. And I thank the Lord for the power, you know, that he moves into our life. You know, verse 54, it says, you know, this is the second miracle that Jesus Christ done. The first we know was turn the water into wine. That means Jesus Christ would meet us in a time of our joy. But also now this miracle here is a miracle at a time when they had some crisis. It means that Jesus Christ also be with you at your sad time. He was there turning the water into wine. That means he'll be with you in the time of joy. That's what the line went with, time, a joyful time for marriage. But now there's going to be some time in your life. There's going to be some sadness in your family. But here, this miracle proves that Jesus Christ will be with you even at the time of your sadness. He's always with us. Thank the Lord for that. Joy and our sadness. Now, this world, I hope more people understand they should be here on Wednesday night and Sunday night, and mothers and fathers or have their family here. They need Jesus Christ in the family. Now, they really, really do. I never saw a time in my life whenever I knew that this country, family members are falling apart. Family members have more problems. They have more crisis than I've ever remembered in my life. Family's always had a crisis. But Lord, I'm going to tell you, they hit us from so many different angles now. I mean, it's everywhere. They won't bring their little ones to the house of God. They won't come. And they need to. It's a sad thing to think about this. They do not know the problems that Jesus Christ will go with them through. But this man, we don't know his name. I said he's a noble man. You know, he was just somebody who was probably pretty wealthy because of his position that he had. But we know that he had a problem. And Pleasant Hill, there's family problem, family sickness, family sorrow, family crisis. If we just bring them to Jesus. That's not quite as easy to do as it is said, though, is it? You know, you always want to bring them, but you pick them up and carry them back home. If you bring them with you, you know, you always better want to carry them back home. Why? Well, the reason a lot of times we do this and why people will not come is because of unbelief. They don't believe they need Jesus Christ. And their God is no bigger than their belief of God. Did y'all know that? You know, some people's got a very, very small God. I mean, he's little, real small. Real small. Why? They don't have any knowledge of God much. Never come to church, never read their Bible, can't pray because they got iniquity in their heart, but they have a very small view of God. So they don't run to God because they have such a small view of unbelief. But this family has a great sorrow. You know, the boy was sick. And I tell you, I'd unnerve mothers and fathers when that little child gets sick, I tell you. Sickness, verse 49. And then you see, he says, "Sir, come down, or my son, he's going to die. He won't live if you don't come, Jesus Christ." He said, "My child," and that word child means little one. It means precious one, maybe the apple of my eye. You know grandparents, what I'm talking about. And great-grandparents, you know what I'm talking about. The kids, you know, they're sweet, but them grandkids are even sweeter. Why? Well, you know what? When you're coming up and raise your family, you don't have time for your kids, especially daddies. Mamas, if they fortunate to stay home with their kids, they get to spend some time with them. Daddies don't. But when the grandkids comes, you got more time, have you not? And you take more time to spend with them. Apple of my eye, the term of endearment. Sick child. So many times, they're all so many different types of sickness. You know, jump onto a child. It's sadness for mothers and fathers and grandparents. You know, they lack the knowledge of bringing them to Jesus Christ. This boy had a fever, almost to the point of death. You ever went through a fever with your child? You know, fever can do some bad things to you. I mean, even if you live through it, it can leave you crippled mentally and in other kind of ways. A fever can do some bad things at the point of death. Point that we all want to come to. Do you know that? He's at the very point of death. And you know that's a point that we all going to come to. You know what Hebrews 9:27 says? That it's appointed unto man to die. You know, we have that appointment. But you know, that appointment can come to little kids. Could come to children. You know, it could come to teenagers. Do y'all remember reading the Bible about the first death was not the father in the Bible? The first death and the first burial was not the father. Who was the first death? It was the son. It was the son. And it's hard to preach funerals whenever, and I know some of y'all have lost of your kids, that these old people are supposed to die first, not the kids. But not in the case of Adam and Eve. In a lot of cases today, we know, because there's appointed time. Every one of us. Family has all kind of crises, but none like the crisis of a sick child. Sometimes the sickness comes in all different type of ways. This crisis comes in all type of ways. Sometimes a child just be unruly. Just grow up and just be unruly. And, you know, might grow up and there's a lot of drug problems today. You know, I don't know much about drugs. You know, I think most of y'all don't either. I mean, but they tell me there's so many young teenagers and all kids in the younger grades growing up with this drug problem. I don't know. They just say once you get on drugs, it's something like it stays with them the rest of their life. They always have that desire. Not they have to stay on drugs, but it's just terrible. You know, praise the Lord, I didn't have that when I was coming along, you know. About the biggest thing we could do was chew in the backer. You know, smoke cigarettes or something like that. Prince Albert, if you could roll them without them falling all apart, Jimmy Brown. I never could roll a Prince Albert. But anyway, drugs is bad. And a lot of crisis in families today. Don't know which way to turn because of drugs in their family. And maybe some of them sick and death just in drugs. Boy, I tell you today, the problems that children have in today. And mothers and fathers, if you don't know which way to turn, they need to turn to Jesus. That would help a lot of problems today if the mothers and fathers would turn to Jesus. For that child, you know, because, you know, today, the problem we have with children today, they have a frontal attack, assault on our children, society and our culture that we're living in, never been before like it is now, polluted their minds and turning and determined, you know, really to just destroy our little ones' minds. If you see on television, I tell you, it looked like to me our younger generation don't have no minds. Y'all ever see Waters World and some of the questions they ask them, that like they ain't got a bit of common sense whatsoever? What planet you reckon they come from? You know, that's the society that they grew up in. You know, that's they're polluted their mind, the culture that we're living in. And all this boils down because they will not accept the Word of God in our country that we're living in right now. That's the big problem in our country. People just will not accept, heed, and obey the Word of God. But you see, society, they want to wreck the lives of our boys and girls in the younger generation. They're doing a pretty good job by it. And I tell you, mothers and fathers, they better teach their boys and girls what no means. What no means. I said no. Because if they don't, when they get out in this world is going to say no to them in a whole lot harsher way than you'll ever be able to say it. And this world will mean no when they say it. It might be behind bars, but they'll say no. Better be real careful, I tell you. Nowadays, you're not supposed to spank children. You're supposed to have a dialogue with them. I could just see my dad, son, take out the trash. I don't know, Dad. I don't know if I feel like it or not. Let's dialogue about this thing a little while. Daddy never did smack me on a full stomach. He always turned me over. Dialogue. Now, that's mothers and fathers today. They don't want to grab up their youngers and let them know no means no. They're pruning them to a world is going to tell them no. Because this world is after them. They're after them. You better be real careful about this dialogue. This society and this culture, I tell you, they're after the generation today because that's where they want. They want to start with this generation, this younger generation, this world. All kind of problems will stem from what I'm telling you right now. No dialoguing. Many man's family, or many a man has been brought to Jesus Christ because of the needs of a child in that family. You know that? Whenever that sick child, they might not have even thought about seeking Jesus Christ until that child gets sick. And you know every crisis you're ever going to have, it stands into what Christ, Jesus Christ wants to bring you closer to him. You may not can see it for years later, and you may not never see it. Because all the crises, they're not from Jesus Christ. Some we bring on ourselves, some the devil sends. But still, Jesus Christ can use them no matter how they come to you to bring you closer to the Lord. No matter what type of crisis we have. And a lot of times, whenever a child gets sick, you know, for some reason or another, that God can get the mother and dad's attention better than in any other way. When that child gets sick, they got time to listen to the Lord. Mothers and fathers, they ought to be in the house of God. They ought to be involved and get their children involved in church and things of God. Even if it didn't do them any good, it would do the kids good. You see, Wednesday night, we look at the mothers and the fathers, not whether they got the kids here at Wednesday night, Sunday school. You know, we're supposed to, as a church, we're supposed to help people grow it saved. We're supposed to be able to use the Word of God and teach and disciple them, discipleship. But you can't disciple anybody, won't come. I'll tell you, it's not all our church fault because people won't grow. If they won't come to church, you can't do much discipling, I can tell you that. You can go and beg them all you want to, and I've done a lot of that. And sometimes they'll pay you back one time, one visit. But they got to decide theirself where you can do anything with them to help them grow. And I think our church has done a good job of helping them when they will come. But you see, they ought to get involved. The father and his son, they was in a condition, a very serious condition, verse 46. So Jesus came again unto Canaan of Galilee, where he made the water wine, and there was a certain nobleman whose son was sick at Capernaum. Now this was a serious thing. Again, they're noblemen now, what he's related to. Sorrow and heartache, sadness. Did you know what that comes to the rich and the poor? Do you know that comes to the educated and the uneducated? The Word of God says it, the rain on the just and the unjust. This man was probably a wealthy man, had trouble, had heartache, had crisis. And this crisis brought him to Jesus Christ. Even us Christians, we have crisis too, don't we? Yes, we have crisis also. But what a difference Jesus makes in people whenever they bring them to Jesus Christ and turn those crises over to him. The nobleman. Now, he lived there in Capernaum. That's about 20 miles. He got to make a 20 miles. Probably he had a chariot because, you know, he was probably a wealthy man. He probably drove, I don't know how long it took him, you know, not probably that long, but about 20 miles, about 20 or 25 miles, according to how far into the town he went. They come to Canaan there, and his son was sick there. Capernaum, you know, It's kind of funny to me, as you look up this word Capernaum, that's where the medical center of that time was. That's where the specialist was at that time in Capernaum. That's where the great intellectual was there in Capernaum for the medicine. And it's kind of like Mayo or St. Vincent down there, you know. I mean, that's where if you go down there, everybody goes going to get well, aren't they? No. And even here, just because it was a center of the medical of the world, everybody's not going to get well. Because Jesus Christ is the healer. Regardless of where you're at, Mayo or St. Vincent or whatever great hospital it might be, if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, there'd be no healing. Thank the Lord for all the technology, haven't I? Thank you. But you see, he was there, but he didn't get healed there. He's a point of death, even at that place. What solution this problem that these special had, or this technology they had, a lot of it time today, you know what time we do today, whenever somebody's sick or somebody has a problem, we have a problem in whatever it is, you know what we want to do? We want to throw money at it. You look at a problem we have and just throw money at it. No matter what it is, you just give them more money. You know, the almighty dollar, I want to tell you something tonight. The dollar is not almighty. The dollar is not almighty. You know, the dollar bill can buy you a house, but it can't buy you a home. It can buy you a bed, but it can't buy you sleep. It can buy you food, but it can't buy you an appetite. The almighty, it's not almighty dollar. You know, that's one of the problems we have in our country now. That's the reason we owe so much in our country now, because every little thing that happens in our country, what do they want to do? Throw money at it. So we in so debt that our kids won't ever pay us out of debt. Boy sick, heartache, but he heard about Jesus. So this family had a great sorrow. I'm on their son was at the point of death. I don't know about you, but that's great sorrow to my family when your kid's at the point of death. But you see, this family came to a great Savior. Came to a great Savior there in verse 47. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He heard about Jesus. What have you heard about Jesus? You know, look to me like people would hear about Jesus. They heard about Jesus Christ and he went. What in the world? People don't hear about Jesus. You know, we really would think the people around this community that our church would be full, don't you? You reckon people hadn't heard about Jesus? Why don't you look at the crisis going on in people's family? You'd think a church would be full. Wonder what they heard. Must not be heard much about Jesus, had he? But this man heard about Jesus. When he heard about Jesus Christ, he said he went. He went. The power of his faith. When he heard. I believe people's heard, but you know what? They won't exercise their faith. You see, he came to a great Savior in verse 47. And when he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea and to Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he saw that it was at the point of death. I mean, looked like he was going to come now. Problems in the family. Smart thing, you know, when you start seeking Jesus Christ. Smart thing when you start praying, isn't it? You know what? We need all the tools we can get for our families. Did y'all know that? We need all the tools that we can get for our family. I mean, whether you realize or not, we're in spiritual warfare with our families. You know what? We're losing. We're losing because, look, I say it, the people that will not acknowledge Jesus Christ is their great tool with their family. And we're losing the spiritual warfare because the devil wants those children. Did y'all know that? The devil wants your children and your grandchildren. But he got a fight on his hands with me because I pray for them every day. I pray for my kids. You know what you need to start praying for your kids before they ever born? It's never too early to pray for them. You need to pray for them before they ever born. I'm going to pray for my children. All Christians ought to, but now you see there's a lot of Christians outside the will of God with iniquity in their heart, and God's not going to hear their prayers. Ain't that a sad thing? Isaiah 59:2 says, your iniquity has separated between you and your God. Your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Psalm 66:18. If I guard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Do you know there's a lot of Christians that cannot pray? There's a lot of Christians that can't pray. God's not going to hear them. If you hide iniquity, it's not going to get no higher than the ceiling. Let their kids get sick. You know what? They might ask the church, but they ain't going to get nowhere. They're going to have to first get that iniquity out of their heart. Oh, sure, God can hear. God can hear everything. But he means he won't acknowledge, you that's walking with him. As you think about this, man comes to the Lord because he had a great problem today. And you tell people about these great problems. And a lot of times you see God sends these crises in our life. Sometimes we bring them in our life. Sometimes the devil do. Sometimes these little crises small. I mean, you know, they don't last but a day or two. But if a person is saved and this crisis comes to them and they brush it off, you don't see them in the house of God, no reflecting their life at all about Jesus Christ, you know what's going to happen? Mark this down by the words of God. The next time, he rebuked them even stronger. They will have a more serious crisis the next time. What's all this for? To bring you into the loving arms of Jesus. He rebukes, then he chastens. He chastens. He's going to get your attention. And guess what? That great doctor, you ever go to the doctor and start mashes on you? What's wrong? Where you heard that? You got it, doc, right there. Well, Jesus can do the same thing to you. Can't he? Y'all had it happen to you? Can't he? He knows exactly where you hurt. He's a great physician. He knows how to get your attention. This man, I tell you, God already had his attention, and God knows how to get our attention. Good gracious, y'all know what? I ain't half through and the time's already over. Why don't y'all stop me? My goodness, I'd have so much fun. Listen, let me read a couple more verses of scripture. Psalm 119:71-68. This is David speaking now in this psalm. It is good for me that I have been afflicted. Now, I ain't never said that. Have y'all? I don't like to be afflicted. What's this for, Lord? What's this kidney stone for? You know? What's this? But then David said, that I might learn thy statutes. But back up in the next verse before that again, it says in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray. I went astray. But now have I kept thy word. See, y'all know where I'm coming from? It's what God says. I don't like discipline. I don't like for the Lord hath to discipline me. I don't like problems. I don't like crisis. But God uses them to bring us closer to him in our crisis. Family came to a great Savior, and I might go back over this next week. I don't know. I have so much fun. The man had enough of faith to come to Jesus Christ, but he had immature faith. He had crisis faith. You know, crisis faith will grow. Yeah. Sometimes it gets so critical that they your little child's sick, and sometimes you know what happens out of that crisis? Sometimes the whole family gets saved. That's what it said here. God got the family's attention, the whole family. It says the whole household got saved. I might get to speak on the next week. Sometimes that's how people get saved. Sometimes that little one is at the edge of death. You know, people be real, real careful. They got children, and they won't worship and serve Jesus Christ. They robbers and thieves, and they won't serve Jesus Christ and worship him. and they got little ones, God knows how to get their attention, don't he? As old David said, man, whenever I'm glad I got afflicted, because, you know, before I did, I went astray. But now I do the word. That whole house might get saved. You know, a lot of times that's the way people say, you know, if you just reach church, says, well, if we can just reach the teenager, the whole family gets saved. Not necessarily. That's the least of it. No, they don't. You can reach all the teenagers you want to, and as long as the hot dogs and hamburgers last, all right, when they get through, they're going to run out. Some people say, well, if you reach the little one, man, if you just reach the little one. Well, sometimes you get the family by the little ones. That's true. But you know what the norm is for the Bible to reach people for the Lord? The man of the house. Now, today, there ain't too many men of the house. They heap people, but they're not too many men. You reach the man of the house. If you reach the man of the house, you know what? Most of the time, the wife's going to follow him. And then if he's a man, there won't be no dialoguing with the kids. When it comes Sunday, you're going to be in church. I don't want to go. Well, oh, if you don't want to go, we won't go today. We had a lot of that going on. You know that? But if you reach that man for the Lord Jesus, this man first, and then his house. The Bible's full of that. I'm having fun. Y'all having fun? I'm having fun because these miracles belong to you and I. These miracles belong to you and I. And I'll tell you what, there's a lot of families right now tonight that certainly needs a miracle in their family. And God's going to send them. Now, I don't know how. I don't measure these miracles. I don't know. But you need to understand that he will perform miracles. Now, Jesus Christ didn't come to perform miracles. Jesus Christ came to save the lost people. Miracle was just a sign of who he was. Jesus didn't heal everybody. There were still a lot of people whenever Jesus went back to heaven, he didn't heal. But you know what he left us? When you get through this, we'll be explaining. But this man says he heard the word. You know what Jesus Christ left us when he went back to heaven? The word. If you hear it and believe the word, you got Jesus. Whew, let me hush. Man, that's getting good, ain't it? Anybody like to say?